All right, shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashan Messianic Bible Club. I hope everybody's doing great today. Elohim Tov, and you say, and I say, Kol Hazman, and you say, Elohim Tov, because God is good all the time. After Bible study last night, I went out with a few of the guys who were here at the Bible study, and we had a great time. They never let me pay. I don't. It's kind of cool being a pastor, but sometimes you want to pay. I don't know, but they always treat me very well. Well, we had a lot of good times last night. We were laughing and just talking. And Kevin Anderson asked me a question. He says, "Yeah, I know it says that that you say Pentecost is the time, but why this Pentecost?" Okay, we're going to get into the answer to that question because in my head I had a clear answer, but it would have took me another 2 hours sitting there at the table to explain it to him, or at least another hour or so. But I do want to explain why this Pentecost. Why not the Pentecost of 2024, and so we're going to look at that and why we are looking at this Pentecost and this harvest season and why the timing is perfect. I'm going to say a prayer in Hebrew. It's called the Shekianu blessing. And the Shekianu blessing is a blessing that says, thanks to God for enabling us to reach this season or this time, okay? And we have reached this season. We have reached this time. We have reached a time where all the prophecies in Scripture have been fulfilled. We can't say we're waiting on the 6,000th year. We can't say we're waiting on the 120th Jubilee. We cannot say, we can say we're waiting on the 70th year of Israel, because if in fact on the 360-day calendar, Pentecost did land on May 14, then Pentecost is the exact perfect day for the harvest of the wheat out of the world. I hope through the last three lessons that you have already understood the process of three harvests, and that you don't try to get into extra intellectual conversations about what about the harvest that wasn't harvested, that they left for the poor, and doesn't have to do with the church? No, and then a harvest is a harvest. A welfare system is a welfare system, and the Lord wanted me to make sure that you understood something. The fruit or the grain that fell to the ground, that fell off of the tree to the ground, was not allowed to be harvested.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So if you decide you don't want to be with Christ anymore, you want to fall to the ground, remember that harvest, that is not allowed to be harvested. It is left for the poor as a welfare system. But it also may be a message to us today, is that you need to stay connected to the tree so when the harvest comes, you can be harvested.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So let's say the Shekianu prayer, and then we'll say the Lord's prayer, and then we'll get started.
Right.
Now, it says, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shekianu Vekimanu Vehigianu Lesman Hazeh. And it says, blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, for keeping us alive, taking care of us, and bringing us to this time. This time is days before the 50th day of the Omer and the Pentecost and the wheat harvest. And we just want to thank God that he has taken care of us all of our lives up to this day to experience this moment, this time, and can't wait, because I really believe that the world needs a great change.
Amen.
And the only way they're going to change seems to be through the tribulation, because They're not listening to God other than, you know, something about trouble that makes you makes you hit your knees, you know. Like, maybe I should pray. So let's.
Before you pray, Pastor.
Yes.
Hello from New Zealand, Cape Town, Cleveland, Tennessee, Mexico, Central Delaware, Austria, London,
wow.
And New Jersey.
Wow, God is good. You hear all those different places, Pastor Ben? And you know, we got our friends in New Zealand that came and visited the church. I got my New Zealand t-shirt.
Oh.
Every time I wear it, somebody thinks I'm from there. I go, nope, I'm not from there, but that's where Christ Church is.
Uh-huh.
A lot of trouble happening in that area all the time. And, you know, the one of the Podesta brothers were there when the shooting took place. And and then they always, you know, Christtown is, I mean, they practice the harp there with the earthquakes. Man, New Zealand and Christ City is a very tumultuous place to be, yeah. So, but we're praying for them, yeah.
Say one more thing. I'm
yeah.
Sorry to keep
interrupting. No, go ahead.
Canada, Indiana, Texas, Tampa, Florida, Haiti, Evansville, Indiana, and Hawaii just logged in.
Komoye, all my friends there in Haiti.
And Pennsylvania.
And we're praying for you, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia Eagle fans up there. But I love you anyway. Okay, see, I connect everything with football. But, well, it's either football or scripture, you know. So, Buffalo Bills and Philadelphia Eagles, everybody's out there. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We have, I want to do some explaining today, and hopefully after I do the explaining today, you'll be able to get excited about this Sunday and Monday, which are both Pentecost days for harvest. So, and so we're going to look at that. So let's say the Lord's Prayer, because I was just talking to a friend of ours and telling her, one of the most important things in the Lord's Prayer is that he says, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
So I want people to stop worrying about next weekend and next month. I'm like, gee, you know, life is enough for it day to day.
Yeah.
Gotta be tossed in the next month. Might stress me out. So let's stick with what the Lord says. Let's live day by day. And God says he gives us each day our daily bread. Praise God.
Amen.
And it says, Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yit Kadeshimcha, Tavo Mechutecha Yit Aserot Sanaka, Be'aretz Ke Ashirne Asav Veshamaim. Telano Hayom Lechem Hukenu, Uzlaklano Et Asmitenu. Ke Asher Solechem Anachnu Le Asher Atmilanu. Vial Tevienu Le De Masa, Keim Hatzilanu Min Hara. Kilacha Hamamlaka Vehavgivura Vehatiferit Leolame Leolamim Amen. All right, Baruch Shemcha Adonai, our Lord, our Savior. Adonai. Okay. I want to read a scripture, a passage of scripture for you, because I want you to understand that our God is a God of timing. Okay?
Amen.
We can, I want you to understand that Jesus couldn't have been born anytime. It was all planned. The date of his birth had to be during tabernacles because he was going to tabernacle amongst us. Okay?
Amen.
He couldn't have died on the cross at any time.
Right.
Because, that wouldn't have been equivalent to what Passover is,
mm-hmm.
because his death was a Passover.
Yes.
Okay. And the constellation for Passover is the lamb. So as Jesus is dying on a cross, if you look from the moon to the earth behind him, you would see the constellation of the lamb.
Wow.
So, and that's in one of the videos that we had that he showed us that. And I was like, wow. So, that the whole time that the lamb dying on the cross and the constellation of the lamb being behind him and it being a Passover, that means all of that event happened at the perfect time, right?
Yeah.
That means they had to nail him to the cross at the same time that the priests were nailing binding the lamb to the sacrifice in the temple.
That's crazy.
So it had to. So that whole thing happening in the morning, and then him dying in the evening or at twilight and later. That means it was in accordance with that the lamb would be bind and would die at the exact same time as they had always done over centuries. So timing is a factor with God, okay? It's not a matter of, oh, let's just do it anytime we feel like it. Everything is timing.
Yeah.
So in answering the question, why this Pentecost, we have timing issues that bring us to this moment. And I want to go over the timing issues that bring us to this moment that we say, okay, Pentecost is a harvest season. Pentecost is the harvest of the wheat. The wheat harvest is the church. And since the wheat harvest is the church and it's been designated, that's the beautiful part of Pentecost. The Pentecost harvest has been designated for the wheat harvest. Okay? The tabernacle has been designated for the fruit harvest, okay? And the leavened bread was designated for the barley harvest, and they already left.
Yeah.
So they were on time, and I'm expecting for us to be on time,
yeah,
because timing is everything with God. Let me read this passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading because Jesus is about to go up to the Feast of Tabernacle, but he wanted his brothers, because they, you know, they like, hey, come with us.
Verse number one.
Yeah. So it says in verse number one, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life.
Yeah.
But when the Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that the disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. So that means all that stuff they were saying sarcastically.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So you want to be famous. You want to do all these miracles in front of people. Why don't you go do it in front of the world? Come on. And Jesus says, therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. Right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil.
Yes.
You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. So you see how Jesus, everything has to be at the perfect timing.
Yeah.
Okay? Everything has to be at its perfect timing. Now, we could do a whole Bible study on that because Jesus waits till the 3.5, till after the 3.5 days, and then he goes up in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, mm-hmm, which is absolutely correct because he's talking to them, and this prophecy is about his second coming. So, I want you to understand that timing is everything with God.
Yeah.
Okay? Have we reached the time? This is important. Have we reached the time of God appearing? Okay? We know that Jesus said that it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? So we have to look at the days of Noah and see when did the flood actually occur. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 6, we see that Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. Okay? And so why was it important that Noah be 600 years old? 6 days. 6,600. Is so Noah's time that this event is about, he is now 600 years old. Now, did it happen on his birthday? No, it doesn't say that. But he's 600 years old, okay? So now it says, he was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. And it says, and Noah and his sons and his wives entered the ark to escape the water of the flood. Okay? So, we see that Noah was 600 years old. I'm going to read verse 8. Pairs of clean doves and all this stuff. I want to go over to verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. That's amazing, because the second month where the flood began, okay, the second month where the flood began right here is not Iyar. Because remember, Moses in Exodus chapter 12, Moses says, hey, let's, God says, hey, this month is now going to be the first month of the year for you. Mm-hmm. So being that this month, the month that God changed to be the first month used to be the seventh month of the year. Okay. So this being the second month right now would make this the eighth month of the year, which would be, I forget the name of the month, but I remember Heshvan. So it would be Heshvan. So this whole event that the flood beginning happens in Heshvan, which is quite some time from now, because Heshvan is in October. Okay. The flood beginning on the earth does not signify for us the rapture, because the flood is a time that the world is going to experience. Okay, for 40 days. Okay, so the world's going to experience this flood of trouble that's going to come upon it. So it says in the 600th year. Now we know one other thing else about Noah's time, and that was this, because we said he was 600 years old. Now watch this, because I did some studying on this. You're in Genesis chapter 6.
Man, I'm God, where in the Bible does it say he preached for 120 years?
Here we go. Hey, let's go, man. That's my brother. I'm glad you asked.
Genesis chapter 6.
Yes, okay. Genesis chapter 6, we'll go at verse, I think it was 3. We'll start at verse 3. Watch this. And the Lord said to Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that I think it's in the book of Enoch or in the book of Jasher. It said when God told Moses this, Moses was 480 years old. Okay. I have it written down here. Moses was 480 years old when God told him that my spirit will not always dwell against with man, for his days shall be 120. When we get to the flood, Noah is 600 years old, and therefore from the 480 to 600 was the 120 years, and we knew that the flood was about to come. Okay?
Amen.
So there's the 120. Here's the timing that we need to say, okay, is this event, is the timing set for this event? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Many aspects play a timing in God's in when and why God will react, will act. There's sometimes God will not do things because it's a Jubilee year. He's not going to harvest.
Right.
And he commands the children of Israel, don't you harvest at this time, right? During the millennium, the Jubilee happens on the ninth month, on the 24th of Kislev. In 1917, on the 24th of Kislev, Jerusalem was won, okay? The Six-Day War, Jerusalem was won. I still have to study and see what actually happened on the 24th of Kislev in 1967. But we know on this 18th of Kislev, Donald Trump announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. So for three consecutive Jubilee periods, Jerusalem was announced to belong to the Jews. For three consecutive Jews, and now you can go backwards from there, according to the rabbi, you can go backwards from there and count every Jubilee in the earth up until that time. You can count every Jubilee. Now, how does God keep the timing on the Jubilee and then have Donald Trump actually announced that the Jubilee has started in the 6,000th year on Jubilee, and he announces this, and now you see, oh my goodness, all the timings are perfect, okay? So now people is like, why are you guys, nobody knows the day and the time of the rapture. Nobody knows the day and the time of the rapture. Jesus says, we will know the season.
Amen.
And since we know that the 6,000 years are past, the 120th Jubilee is past,
yes.
Now we're stretching here toward the 70th anniversary of Israel, or the 70th, or the Pentecost 70 year after they were rebirthed, okay?
Yeah.
So this is the Pentecost 70 years after their rebirth, and this is the perfect timing that God has set in Scripture for this to happen.
Yes.
Okay, what's the event that we want to happen? We want a marriage to happen.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to Genesis chapter 29. Thank the Lord, because he's always leading and guiding me. Always leading and guiding me. It's hard to teach typology to a well-educated Bible student from a Christian university, because I actually went to a university, and I was going to say, hey, I would love to teach your Hebrew courses here, and to teach this, and you can even teach it as a certificate model so that they can get a better understanding of Hebrew before they graduate and get their degrees in ministry from your university. And they said, well, you know, our students, as they're taking ministry classes, they only have to take one Hebrew class. And And I said, they take one Hebrew class? I said, do you know the entire Old Testament? 39 of the books are in Hebrew? And he said, they only take one Hebrew class, and then that's it, you know. The other thing is history of the Old Testament, history of the church fathers, all this. I was like, okay. So they didn't want me to teach it. I gave them material. I said, well, I'm going to give you the material because I'm not trying to hide it. It's not my material. God gave it to me, 17 courses in Hebrew that you can begin to learn how the Bible is structured through Hebrew. And that's what our students have their associate degrees in, biblical theology, right? Or Hebrew biblical theology.
Yes.
Because they've learned how to read, to understand the Bible from a Hebraic standard, okay? So there are typologies all through the Bible, okay? Otherwise, you know, Isaac going up to Mount Moriah, which is later called Calvary. And on the third day, Abraham getting his son back. All of this is like, you know, then Joseph, you know, brother Judas being the one to sell him for silver makes no, you know what I mean? So Judas sells him for silver, you know, and then later in life, you know, Judas sells him for silver. And, you know, so it's all of these typologies in the Bible. Well, one of the great typologies is that God is going to get married, but his marriages are going to take place in two separate events, okay? The first event for a marriage to take place is 7 years before the second event takes place, because the rapture is at least 7 years before the return of Christ to rescue Israel, okay? And to give them the spirit that we now have so that they can really serve him from a true heart, okay? So this is why God put the story of Jacob's marriages to Leah and Rachel in scripture, okay? But as we read this, and I don't want to read this today, I want to explain it to you. Jacob wants to marry Rachel. Rachel is the one that he truly loves. That is the apple of his eye.
Yes.
That is like God. I really love Israel. That's the one I really want. That's the apple of my eye. Okay? But he doesn't get Rachel at the time he finishes his work. When does he finish his work? Can he work for 7 years? It's impossible. He worked for six, and that's considered a full week. Okay, so when he finished his work time, what did he ask for? I want my bride. The 6,000 years were finished as of 2017. That was the end of the 6,000 year. That means that the bridegroom can now go forth and say to the harvester, look, I've worked for you for my amount of time that I was supposed to work for.
Yes.
Now give me my bride. Okay? Now the marriage can take place. So then his father-in-law, Laban, after he says this, he says in verse 28, chapter 29 of Genesis, verse 28, it says, and Jacob did so. He finished. I'm sorry. We have to go further up before we get there. And it's in verse 21, it says, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed. And I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. Okay? But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her, and Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. So he gets Leah. What makes Leah a representation of the first bride, which is the Gentile church? How many children do Leah have?
Seven.
How many are in the church body?
Seven.
So you see how God is already telling you that this bride that really wasn't the first one chosen is going to be the bride that God's going to receive first. But before he can receive any bride, he has to work his full work week.
Yes.
And I don't know of any Jew in Israel that's working 7 days a week.
Right.
It is. The Sanhedrin there would throw a fit if on the Shabbat people were buying and selling and doing work. Mm-hmm. You go to Israel on Shabbat, they'll tell you Hakol Tachanit Segurim or Segur. They're all closed. Okay, all the stores are closed. Okay, so you can't even ask for a doctor on the Sabbath, because they'll say he lo vet hayom, but it's the Sabbath, Hagidim, right? It's a holiday here. It's a day that we don't work, because the Sabbath is the day that. So when he worked for his 6 years that he had promised on the seventh. And I believe even every week he worked, he took the Sabbath off. And then he worked, but he worked the full 6 years. And when he had finished, he said, give me my bride. When we got to 2017, it was the end of 6,000 years. It was the end of 144,000 days, which is 144 hours of a week, which God timed that there's 144 hours in a 6 day week. Okay. And then you get to Genesis, and when it's time for tribulation, he chooses 144,000 to let you know this is happening, because what? The work week is over. Okay. So Jesus has worked his full work week. Go back and time it and look at six days at 24 hours and ask yourself, why is it 144 hours? Did God do this on perfect? Who created time? God did. Time is not everywhere. Time is the same, or what they saw, the time is linear, that wherever you're at, it's an hour, you know? No, when you get out of this realm, time disappears. Okay, time disappears, because time is a created entity that exists only in this realm. Okay, amen. A minute is not a minute when you leave here.
Amen.
Okay, so we have to understand that now he marries Leah, and then in verse 28, he does want to go back and marry the one he originally chose. But listen what Laban says. He says, when morning came, there was Leah, and Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, it is not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Okay? Why is Leah older than Rachel? How is it? Because faith is older than the law. Yeah. Did you guys know that? That the law doesn't come into existence until 400 years later. You understand? So you can't nullify this, okay? And it speaks of this in the book of Romans, that this covenant was at least 400 years before the law. So Laban represents the church, which represents faith, which makes her the older daughter, okay? And that's the church, because the church is the seven, has the seven children. So he said this, Laban replied, it is not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week. Finish her bridal week. Does a bride get a full week of celebration?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? So this is awesome, right? So they're going to celebrate for a full week. He says, finish her bridal week. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years yes. of work. So that means Jacob is agreeing to work past his 6,000th year
yes.
in order to work out the thing to marry his second bride.
Is that what he's doing now, Pastor? Past his 6,000th year?
That's what he's doing now. We're past the 6,000th day, but now he knows he's got to set up this marriage. Okay? After he sets up this marriage, then the tribulation will begin, and he will begin to work on his second marriage,
yes.
which is Israel, which will take the 7 years. Okay? So these are the typologies that God has given us in Scripture. That's why you say, why this Pentecost? Because we're past the 120th Jubilee. Why this Pentecost? Because we're past the 6,000th year. A wedding has to take place now.
Amen.
We're past the 120 years in Noah's time, because, and now the flood is scheduled to begin.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So we have exceeded past the times for everything to be perfect timing for God. Okay, so let me.
How dark is that room that he didn't recognize he had the wrong bride?
Don't you be asking me no questions like that. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to answer that. That must have been a lady asking that question.
Someone suggests that maybe it was a little bubbly going on before they got to the room.
No, that wouldn't even matter. You stopped asking me them questions. It must be a lady asking me those questions, because if it's a man and you ain't been with nobody and you've been working for 6 years with nobody, long hair is long hair. A figure is a figure. You know, like, well, we'll turn on lights in the morning. We got stop it. Don't ask me no more questions like that. Gary tried to get me on the road, Pastor Ben.
Oh, boy. That's too funny.
I'm glad God has a humor. Come on. You can ask him when we get there. Ask me no questions no more. Okay. So now we get to the place where that has just happened. Now I want us to go to Leviticus chapter 25. Okay. Ooh, yeah, we can go to Leviticus chapter 25.
20 minutes left.
20 minutes, oh, that's good. That's very good. We can talk. I love talking about the scriptures with you guys as the Rashawn Messianic Bible Club, because I know that we're into studying the scriptures on a higher level, and it gives me the freedom to be able to talk about things on a higher level than, you know, if on Sunday I got guests here, I got to make sure that I'm keeping it where they understand what I'm saying as well. But with you guys have been studying for 2 years, most of you, and then you're interested in learning the Bible on a higher level. So let's get to here. And now we're in the book of Leviticus, and we're in chapter 25, and we are in verse 8.
Pastor, before you go, Dr. Barry wants to know, if Jesus presented himself to the Father on the 18th of Nisan, why do we start counting the Omer earlier?
If Jesus introduced himself on the 17th of Nisan, okay, and on the 17th of Nisan was the first day after the Sabbath, so the 17th of Nisan, they would have started counting the Omer, okay, and then they'll count the Omer all the way for 50 days until Pentecost, okay, and then Pentecost will land on the 6th of Sivan. Okay, so, but Dr. Barry, there was another question that you sent me and I didn't get to reply to you, and that's the 10 days of awe, okay? And the 10 days of awe are specifically a prophecy about the 10 days that occur before Jesus returns to the earth, because within that 10 days, he's going to rapture, he's going to harvest first, and then that'll be at Rosh Hashanah, and then that's the people that he rescued, and then in 10 days, they're going to pray for repentance, and then in 10 days, he's going to return. So that's the opening of the book and the closing of the book that Jesus did in Leviticus chapter 4. So the 10 days of awe is a specific prophecy that governs the last 10 days before Jesus returns to the earth, because there will be a Rosh Hashanah harvest, and then there will be a Jesus Christ return at Yom Kippur, and then a final resurrection of all the living at Tabernacle, and then that's how that will happen. So it's already been measured out. So let's continue here. I hope I answered this question. Here we go. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8, it says this. Count off seven Sabbaths of years, seven times seven, so that the seven Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpets sound everywhere on the 10th day of the seventh month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land and consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee. When does the jubilee begin? On the 10th day of Tishri at the atonement, okay? At the time of atonement. So for that full year, from the time of atonement to the next year at the time of atonement, that is considered to God to be a jubilee year. That means you don't plant anything. You don't harvest anything. You eat whatever is being grown for that whole year.
Yes.
So for that whole year, in keeping with God's law, because he's keeping within his timing, Jesus said what? Timing is everything.
Yes.
So when did the Jubilee hit us? There was a Jubilee when? In 2017, at Tishri, which was September, till 2018, at Tishri in September, there was no harvesting allowed, okay? The harvest that God wants now is a wheat harvest. And that wheat harvest is going to take place at Pentecost. So the Pentecost that fell between September of 2017 and September of 2018 could not be a harvest because what? The timing wasn't right. It was a time of rest, or it was a time of the 50th year and no harvesting in the 50th year.
Amen.
Okay? So God, keeping in line with his scripture, says, now I got to wait till the next Pentecost after 2000, because from 2017, 2018, September, that means that June of that year that fell, you could not have, in 2018 of June, you could not have a wheat harvest. Now September comes, and now you got to wait till the next Pentecost till you can begin to harvest again.
Amen.
We are at that next Pentecost harvest. I'm answering the question from Kevin Anderson, why this Pentecost? Okay, because this Pentecost is after the 120th Jubilee. Do we understand that? This Pentecost that is falling right now is the Pentecost that falls, that you can harvest on after the 120th Jubilee.
Amen.
That's why it's a perfect time, okay? So, if you understand the Jubilee system, now, because if we read the whole thing in 25, it'll say no one is to harvest anything during this year, right? You eat you eat what has been already grown, no harvesting and no planting. The land is resting. It is a Jubilee year.
Amen.
And God said you are to keep this as a mikra, or as a dress rehearsal, because this is a dress rehearsal for what? A later time when this play is going to actually take place. The play is taking place. We've been at the 120th Jubilee. He rested for a whole year. Now, here comes the Pentecost after the Jubilee year. Guess what? We can harvest again.
Yes.
And that's why. Okay, now we're going to look at one more, and that will be in the book of Judah. I mean, and of course, we'll have to start at the end in Deuteronomy before Judah. So I'm going to have to take a little bit of...
Is it not a product placement, Pastor Sandy?
Yeah, I had to wet my whistle. Okay, what happened in Deuteronomy, you guys? Because we have to answer this question. Why am I so excited? You know what I mean? Pastor Sandy, why are you so excited about this Pentecost? We're past 6,000 years. The Jacob's already worked his time. He wants his bride. Okay, we're past that time. We're past the 120th Jubilee. We've already let the land rest for the harvest. It is now the Pentecost season. It is now the proper time that we can now harvest again. That is why. That is why this is the perfect time.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, check this out, you guys. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 34, I believe it says, oh, look at this. It's in verse 34, verse 7. And it says here, Moses was 124 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Okay, so Moses was 120 years old before what? He turned the ministry over to Joshua. Okay, that 120 years is over. You understand? Yes. Why is the flood 120 years and then something's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then why after the 120th Jubilee, did you know that 50 times 120 is 6,000? So that time is over. The 120th Jubilee is over. The 6,000 years is over. So now we're at the perfect time. Now, Moses dies at 120, which tells us what? We're going back to the time of Noah. Something's about to happen because 120 just ended. And the last time 120 ended, something happened.
Yes.
So guess what's going to happen now? Now, he's turning the ministry. I'm turning the ministry over to Joshua.
Yes.
Yeshua. Okay. He turns the ministry over to Joshua, and guess what God tells Joshua? It's time to cross the people over into the promised land. Okay? It's time to cross them over into the promised land. So Joshua prepares the people to cross over into the promised land when? After Moses dies at 120. So after his 120, now there's going to be a crossover. Could there be a crossover before the 120th? Did he turn 120th and on the very 120th day, on his birthday, did they? No, it's after he turned 120. We're after the 120th Jubilee. Okay, now, so we're here, and this is what it says. And I want you guys to understand this as I read it, because this is very important.
Where are you reading from?
I think I'm going to be. Oh yeah, I'm in chapter 5, verse 1. I'm in Joshua chapter 5, because Joseph is going to now in verse 4. It says on the 10th day, they crossed everyone over. And then on the 14th of Nisan, everybody was over and they had already crossed over. OK, but listen to these instructions now. OK, it says, now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before Israel until we had crossed over, their hearts melted. And they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Okay? Now, I want to read this the way the Lord was explaining it to me as I was reading this over the beach, at the beach. There has been a crossover that has put fear in the world about Israel. Listen to me. When is the crossover? Who's crossing over? It's not the Jews that came out of Egypt. This is a whole different group of people after the 40 years, that did not come out of Israel. All of these people are not the Jews that came out of Israel. We're talking about a whole different group of people that went through the 40 years of wandering, okay? Listen to this. So the whole world, everybody in the world is scared of them because they heard that there was a rapture. Some people crossed over. God dried up the sky and crossed the church out of the world. So they're afraid. And it says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and he circumcised Israel, the Israelites at Gibeth Haraloth, and I got to look up that word. And it says, now this is why he did it. Why did he do it?
all those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age died in the desert. Okay? On their way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert for 40 years. 40 times 50 is 2,000. Yeah. So that means that the people who have been on this 40 Jubilee journey, we haven't had our flesh cut off yet.
Amen.
Okay? But the cutting off of the flesh is not what they did in Egypt. We're talking about taking off the flesh so that we can be seen as the people of God.
Yes.
So we're going to take off the flesh and appear before God as his people. Yes. who have been circumcised from their flesh.
Yes.
Okay? Now, and it says, the Israelites who had moved about in the desert for 40 years until all the men who were military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now there comes this circumcision. Okay, this circumcision of what? Of all of the people who went through the 40 Jubilees since Christ died, all of these people are still walking around in their flesh.
Yes.
Okay, they have not put on their resurrected bodies. They have not cut off their old flesh.
Yes.
But now that we're crossing them over, let's make sure we make sure that we cut this flesh off, because now we're bringing them over into the other side.
Yes.
If you read now, then it says in verse 9, the Lord says, chapter 5, verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. What is Gilgal? The will.
Yeah.
The will has been completed on this day. The word Gilgal in Hebrew is the numerical gematria of 66. How many books in the Bible? 66. We're talking about this is the end of the will. This is the will that Ezekiel saw. This is the end of the will. So they call the place Gilgal on the 14th day of the month while they kept at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho. And the Israelites celebrated what? Passover.
Yes.
What are we going to be celebrating when we get up there?
It's
a Pentecost rapture, but what are we celebrating?
Passing over.
We're celebrating Passover. So when the people who have gone through the 40 years, we're in the 40 years, okay? Just 2,000 years after, but we got to take off this old flesh, because taking off the old flesh represents that now you are the people of God. And now we're going to cross over and we're going to celebrate there on the other side. Where? And what are we going to celebrate? Passover.
Yeah.
It will still be a Passover celebration because the church will have now passed over from here to there and have taken off the old flesh. So why is this such a perfect time? Because this Passover doesn't take place until the 120 is over.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This Passover doesn't take place until the 40 Jubilees or 40 years in the wilderness is over. We've been 40 Jubilees since Christ. 2017 represented that Jubilee was 40th Jubilee after Christ.
Yes.
So why is it the perfect time? It's the perfect time because all the numbers match up. Okay. I don't have much to say after all this. I would have to look at God and go, you set up all the perfect times. You rested a Jubilee season. Everything is perfectly. Israel is in the year, is in the land for 70 years. Here, this is the harvest season of the wheat after that 70 years. And here we are standing waiting to go.
Yeah.
And I hope that people see this video when we're gone and they can go, oh, my goodness. God was trying to warn us about his coming for a long time. And we were doing church. Because you know why? People who aren't doing church ain't interested in this video. But I'm thinking that there's some people that love Jesus that are going to be searching for an idea. How did this happen to us? My message last night was what?
Why did God leave me?
Why did he leave me? Why? Was I playing church? Did people warn me not to be to get out of this church? Did people warn me that I can't live like that and be saved? Did people warn me that the church that I was going to was heretical and I stayed in it because you could sin freely there and no one was watching you? You know, it's like so many reasons that people do what they do. But when the rapture happens, it's a time for the whole world to change. I want you to know when they crossed over, the scripture that hit me most of all was this. It said, now when all the Amorite kings of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings of the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we crossed over, their hearts melted. Mm. And when they hear that the rapture happened, their hearts will melt. They'll go, oh my God, it happened. There may be people out there who don't believe that the event is going to take place, that the rapture was just written in scripture just to scare people, or maybe God fulfilled all the other prophecies before this time, and then now he's not into fulfilling prophecies anymore. But my belief is that God has fulfilled every prophecy to show us that you can bet I'm going to finish this book. And part of finishing this book is the taking away of the church out of the world. You who are still walking around after shall be caught up together to meet with them in the air, an event that was written to let us know that the day is coming, which is called that day of hope, that joyful time for us to be taken. So if Kevin watches this, I want him to know that the reason why is because the time is perfect.
Yes.
It's the perfect timing. Okay. And so therefore, we're waiting for this day. And that's about it for today.
You going to pray out?
Yep. And I'm going to pray out. I hope you guys go back and look at this incredible study.
There are 300 people online now.
I'm trying to figure out how I could get some of this on paper. But you know what? We only have Sunday and Monday is Pentecost. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just want to relax. If I'm here on Sunday, I love this. Are we still online? Do I have a minute left?
Okay.
Okay, watch this minute. Watch this minute. Only a minute left. Watch this, what it says in Revelation chapter 4. Watch this.
Revelation chapter 4?
Yeah. Watch this. Revelation chapter 4. Okay. We're in verse 1. Watch. It gives us a prophecy right here. Now, if God anticipated this, this is really cool. Right. It says, John says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the voice which I had heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Okay? Now, I'm looking for it where it said it was on the day of the Lord. Ah! And it says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne in heaven, and one who sat on it, and he who sat thereon had jasper. Now, why doesn't it say here in this scripture, on the day of the Lord? Because it was on the day of the Lord that this event happened, okay? And the day of the Lord is Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon is the day of the Lord. And is it in verse 1? I'm going to have to look it up. But now I'm like, okay. But in this, this whole thing happens to John on the day of the Lord. On the day of the Lord. On the day of the Lord I was in. So if you guys look it up, it might be in Genesis chapter 1. I mean, Revelation chapter 1 or Revelation chapter 4. But on the day of the Lord is when these events happened, okay? And the day of the Lord is Yom Rishon. And someone's going to say, no, the day of the Lord is the millennium. John was talking about the millennium. That is the day of God's rest. And that is the Yom Rishon of God's rest. Or Yom Rishon is the day, Sunday. So I'm hoping it's this Sunday anyway. So praise God. Let's pray out. Okay. God said, when you speak to my people, Moses, make sure that you bless them. Bless my people and say to them, the Lord make his face. No, say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmarekka, Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunekka, Yaseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. Shalom, everybody. I hope to not see you next week. All right. Not here, at least.